Psalm 121 tonight, the book of Psalms 121. I love the book of Psalms because there's so much in the book of Psalms. It's such a varied book. There's so much in the book. I love Psalms and I love Proverbs because you could just read a psalm or a proverb a day and you can just glean so much out of it. It's just such a wonderful book for us to study. And I'm looking forward to getting into Psalm 121 tonight. It's only 8 verses long. Well, we're going to take a look at all 8 verses, and I hope tonight that as we look at this psalm, it will speak to your heart. Maybe you're going through something right now, some type of a trial, a tribulation in your life. I hope that this speaks to your heart tonight. Psalm 121, if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. A lot in that little psalm. There's a lot in there, and I hope we can glean out of it tonight some little tidbits that you can take with you tonight as you carry them out of here into your day tomorrow. You know, some of the psalms in Bibles have different labels on them, and this one is no different. In a lot of Bibles, this psalm is labeled as Song of Degrees. Song of Degrees. What does that mean? Well, it means that the worshipers back in those days would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in one of the 3 great annual feasts, either Passover or Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. As they would walk, they would sing these psalms. And this was one of the ones they would sing. And with that in mind, I think we can see that this is what we would call a pilgrim song. A pilgrim song. It tells of the dangers of the journey that they're about to face. That they're on their way. As they're making their way to Jerusalem, there's journeys, there's troubles, there's dangers along the way. But they know that God will help them and provide for them on their way. If you look at verse number 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Well, you see, verse number 1, it's not really a declaration of hope. It really isn't. It's really a cry of despair. The psalmist is telling us this, that there's danger lurking in the hills above and waiting for an opportunity to pounce upon the weary traveler. You see, when that happens, where can the pilgrim turn to help? As we as pilgrims, when those troubles and those trials come on us, where do we turn for help? You see, the psalmist in this psalm answers his own question by reminding us that the Lord is our help. You see, I want to remind you this evening that we're all pilgrims. Every one of us are pilgrims tonight. We're marching through. You see, our journey that we're on began the very moment that we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. That journey began. And it will continue, you see, as we step out of this life and into eternity. That journey will continue. And you see, when we get home, the glories that we'll see in heaven are unexplainable. We can't even really imagine the glories that we're going to see. You know, on the radio show on Sunday night, Pastor Ken and Pastor Bill and myself, we were discussing eternity if you were listening, we were talking about eternity and how hard it is for us as Christians, as believers, to really picture eternity. It's hard to picture eternity as going on and on and on and on and on and on and more and more. That eternity. But you see, that's what we're going to have when we get home. But you see, along the way, before we get there, there's going to be dangers lurking all around us. There's going to be thieves that come along and rob us of that peace and of that joy and that victory that we have in our life. There's going to be sins that quench the fire of God in our souls. There's problems all around us. I don't know about you, but I've experienced those difficult, tough times. And I'm sure you have too. A couple things as I was studying this that came to my mind. Back in 1998, I was the vice president of a company, of a division. But I was wore out and I decided that was enough. I was going to have my own business. And I went into the vending machine business. Big mistake. You've heard of the School of Hard Knocks? Well, those classes are difficult and they're expensive. And my vending machine venture was not good. It was a difficult time in my family's life because we went from a vice president's salary down to nothing. And I had to scramble because I quickly learned that I wasn't going to make much money selling Tic Tacs and gum. Because by the time that people broke into my machines and robbed me of everything, there wasn't much left. We had a difficult time, but God got us through it. He gave me another job and then another job and then finally the opportunity to start a company with my son. Very blessed in that. That was a difficult time in my life. A difficult time in my family's life. We got through it with prayer and leaning on God. God, you need to show us what to do here. You need to provide. Another time that was really a difficult time was when we went through Hurricane Wilma. Because during Hurricane Wilma, we were sitting in our Florida room. There was four of us, my wife and I, my son and my daughter. We were sitting there, and we thought we were going to be okay. And all of a sudden, there was a big gust of wind, and we heard the roof peeling off where we were sitting. And the water started coming in. And we started scrambling, getting stuff out of that room that was leaking and trying to save what we could. And we did. But all we could do was pray. Father, help us. Save us. Help us. And he did. Oh, it was a mess. But he got us through it. He protected us. You see, I've been through those difficult times when danger surrounded us. And I wondered where my help was going to come from, especially when that work thing, when I put so much into vending machines and it just fell apart. Father, where's the help going to come from? I need to supply and help and be with my family and supply for my family. Where's that going to come from? Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe there's difficulties that you're dealing with. Let me encourage you tonight with this psalm. Because that's what this psalm is. It's an encouragement. So if you're struggling tonight, maybe aware that there's problems maybe right around the next corner. But you see, this psalm is for you. This psalm is for me. This psalm is for each one of us tonight. The psalmist tells about a source of help who is greater than any problem imaginable. You see, in these verses, we're going to find help for our journey. Verse number 2. Well, we'll break it down into three little sections tonight. The first one is the source of our help. What is the source for our help? Well, verse number 2, he is our creator. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, the psalmist knew that his help would not come from the hills that he was walking through right now. No, you see, those hills had been places of idolatry and false religion. He knew that, and he knew that, thank you, Ryan, that help could not be found there. Satan attacks, you know that? My throat has been good all day, and now it's not so good. The psalmist turned his attention to God. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He knew who the creator of heaven and earth was. You see, the psalmist isn't referring to some friend or some ally. He's referring to the creator of the universe, where his help comes from. If God can make the world, think about this for a second. If God can make the world, then surely he has the power to take care of us. If he can make the world, he can take care of us. That's a truth that we can rely on. Our helper is the very one who stood on the edge of nothing and created everything. That's who our helper is. My help comes from the Lord. He comes from him tonight and tomorrow and forevermore. My help comes from the Lord. Verse number 3 says he is our comforter. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Isn't that a precious promise tonight that we can just rely on? He who keeps you, he who keeps me, will not slumber. He's always going to be there for us. The verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our foot to slip. And when I think of that verse, I think of some of my favorite verses in Psalm 119 where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path," because that light, the word, shows us where we're standing. It shows us if there's dangers over here or here or here. It shows us where we're at. But you see, there's a lamp that shows us our path down the road. A path, whether it goes this way or maybe it goes that way. But that lamp shows us which way to go. You see, he will not allow our foot to slip. God knows that it's easy for us to slip into sin and to fall into discouragement. But let's remember that he's always with us. He's promised to sustain each one of us with his presence and his power. I love Hebrews 13:5. I quote it a lot when I teach. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Folks, that's a promise that we need to have on our mirrors, on our dashboards. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That's a precious promise. Matthew 28:20 says it this way, "Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's always with us. He won't allow our foot to be moved or slip. He keeps us. He will not slumber. He is always there. I will never abandon you. Those are promises that we can hold on to tight when we go through those difficult times. We need to remember that Jesus has never made a house that fell nor a foundation that crumbled. Never. You see, there's going to be times when we feel like giving up or maybe giving in. I know I went through that when I went into that vending machine business. I said, "Father, I don't understand. I don't know what to do." I felt like giving in, giving up. And it was about that time that he put a part-time job in front of me. Back in the pool business that I didn't want to be in, but he put me back into it. "Father, why'd you do that?" Because he had other plans for me down the road that I couldn't see. I could see that little part of the parade, and I knew what maybe was coming, but I didn't really know. But I knew what was gone by. But you see, God knows that sees that whole parade. We just see that little spot right there. And it was difficult during those times. "Father, why are you dragging me back into the business I'm trying to get out of?" He put me back in it. I'm glad that he did. You see, Jesus has lifted us out of that clay, that mud of the world, and he's established us. And we're always being reinforced and held by the mighty hand of God. Psalm 40:1-3. Listen carefully because these are wonderful verses. "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me." And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. That's a picture of Psalm 119 because he sets us on that solid ground and shows us where to walk. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. What does that tell you tonight? As believers, as Christians, we shouldn't be walking around with big old frowns on our face, folks. We should be walking around with a song in our heart, a hymn of praise. Why? It's pretty clear because people need to see us. And they need to understand, if we're a believer, I want to be like that. If that's the way Christians are, they're all mopey and down in the dumps. I don't want to be that way. I want to be like that Christian who's up and relying on Jesus Christ and walking close to him. Why? Because those people will put their trust in the Lord. We're to be that testimony out in the world. When I was studying this, the thing that came to my mind was my friend Larry, at 99 years old in the convalescent home, gave his heart to Jesus Christ. 99 years he lived without Jesus. He lived about 3 months with Jesus and then went to heaven when he turned 100. And why did Larry give his life to Jesus? Well, it wasn't anything that I said to him. I just said, Larry, would you like to pray a prayer? He'd been asked that question 6 times, and he always said, no, I'm not interested. But he would come to service. He would come to the convalescent service. But that one day, because somebody gave him a blanket, a gift, you see, he felt the love of Jesus. And he said that day, yes, I'll pray. He prayed at 99 years old. 3 months later, when he turned 100, he passed away, and he's in heaven tonight, rejoicing because of what Jesus did for him. That's nothing that I did. The Holy Spirit just used me as a tool to ask him if he was ready to pray. That's all. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Are we out there as testimonies for him today, tonight, tomorrow, next week? Are we looking for those people that walk across our path that need to know Jesus? Oh, I hope so. You see, when we look at that, what it means is that we can count on Jesus to be along with us throughout the whole way, throughout our journey. How does that happen? Well, the person of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives as the Comforter. We read that in John 16:13. The Comforter is pictures of the one who comes beside us to offer help and assistance during that journey that we're on. He helps keep us standing for the Lord. Keeps us standing for the Lord. The last part of verse number 3 and verse number 4 talks about he is our constant helper. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As we said, the Lord knows that it's easy for us to slip. He also knows that it's easy for us to sleep. I like to nap. I've never understood that. When you have kids, you can never get them to nap. But as adults, man, there's nothing better than a nap. I'd love to take naps. I took one today, in fact. I took a long lunch hour. I was hoping my son would come home and find me sleeping in a chair and fire me, but he won't do it just yet. I'm waiting. One of these days, he's going to come home and say, Dad, you're fired. That's good. There's those times when we grow weary. We want to rest. There's those times when we let our guard down sometimes. We get caught napping, but he's always with us. Jesus is always awake. He doesn't slumber. He's always active on our part. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't fall asleep. And with that in mind, you see, there's no need for us to worry. There's no need for us to fret. And I know it's easy to do because I do it myself. We don't have to lose a moment's sleep because of those problems, because Jesus knows about them. He's always awake. And that's a blessing to know that we can always depend on him. Lamentations 3:23. If you've been in Lamentations lately, that's good for you, because we usually don't read Lamentations too much. But I love this verse, Lamentations 3:23, because it says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." Isn't that beautiful? Great is his faithfulness. His faithfulness is always with us. His mercies, well, they start fresh every morning. When we wake up, we got new fresh mercies. Isn't that cool? Fresh mercies every morning. You get up, got new fresh mercies. He's always there with us. Fresh every morning. A little story here. Back in the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night, every night. After one terrible attack, the people of London began to search through the rubble, looking for the dead and the injured. After a while, all had been accounted for but one old grandmother, a Mrs. Smith. They searched everywhere for her, and finally someone found her in her bedroom, asleep in her bed. They were shocked, and they asked her, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping around you?" Her answer? She said, "Well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. I decided there was no use in both of us staying up, so I just went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands." Silly little story, but when we can't sleep at night because we're worried, leave it in the Lord's hands. He's got it in control. Number one, the sources of our help. Number two, the strength of our help. Verse number five, it says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." You see, verse number five talks about he protects us from our enemies. You know, when we think about that, the verse tells us that the Lord is the shade upon the right hand. That's kind of an odd statement when you stop and think about it. Well, what does that mean? Well, you see, in ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. One was a sword, and the other was the shield. You see, normally the shield was carried by the left hand. The sword was in the right hand. So that meant the right side was open to attack. It had no shield of protection. You see, the psalmist is telling us here that God takes up that deliberate, that defensive position to protect us where we're most vulnerable for attack. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Lord knows where the points that need to be protected. We don't know where those attacks will come from sometimes. Sometimes we find that we're attacked in areas where we're weak. We all have those weaknesses. Mine personally is getting behind somebody in the express checkout line that's supposed to have 10 items and has 20 items. That's a weakness for me. I have a problem with that. If you can't count, go back to school. But you got 20 items and you're in a 10-item express line. I have a problem with that. And I can get a little bit impatient. Unless my wife is with me, and then we're okay. And I don't shop very much alone because I'm an impulse buyer and she doesn't send me to the grocery store very often. But we find ourselves attacked in the areas that are weak. The enemy, Satan, knows about our weaknesses. Oh, he knows where they're at. But other times we find that we're attacked in the areas that we're the strongest. Well, how does that work? Well, you know, it says pride goeth before a fall. A lot of times I think, hey, God, I've got this. This is one of my strong points. I've got it. I'll use you over here when in my weak points over here. We can get a little prideful, a little boastful sometimes. And that's when Satan attacks. That's when he attacks. Think about this. What was Moses' great strength? Well, his greatest strength was his meekness. He was a meek person. Yet you see, in anger, what did he do? He hit a rock. And what happened? He was forbidden to enter the promised land. Abraham, we just studied Abraham in the book of Genesis. His greatest strength was his faith in the Lord. Yet he went into Egypt in pure unbelief. You see, the point is this. We will be attacked. We don't know where that attack is going to come from. But it never catches God off guard. He's always ready to shield us and to protect us from our enemies. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, or your most vulnerable area. Verse number 6, he protects us from the elements. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You see, in this verse, the psalmist speaks of two possible attacks, two possible sources of harm that were common to the ancient soldier at that time. One was sunstroke. Now, living in South Florida, we know about sunstroke. We do know that if we spend too much time out in the sun, it's a dangerous condition where our body can become overheated and shut down. But you see, there was another condition called moonstroke. Moonstroke. You see, unlike sunstroke, moonstroke didn't affect the body. It affected the mind. That's what they thought. In ancient times, mental illness was thought to be caused by the moon. Hence, the moon by night. You see, that's where we get the word lunatic, from that philosophy. You learned something tonight. I don't charge any extra for that. You see, that word lunatic describes someone who has a mental disturbance. The whole idea here is while we're subject to attack in our lives, we're subject to attack in our bodies, in our minds. So you see, just as God will protect us against the attack of enemies from the outside, he'll guard us from attack on the inside as well. So whether that attack is open or secret, whether it comes by day or by night, God is aware of who you are and what is happening to you, and he will protect you. He will protect me. He will protect us. He'll guard us. He'll give us those resources that we need to stand in the day of battle. God is our strong tower. That's our gift in our troublesome times. Psalm 91:4, it reads this way: he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. As I was reading that, as I was studying, I thought, well, this just happened to me not too long ago. I got up one morning, opened up the blinds, and I looked out, and in our pool was a mother duck and her little chick swimming in our pool. Well, I like ducks and chicks as well as anybody, but I don't like them in my pool. So I went out in the backyard, and I got my net, and I was going to gently get them out of the pool and help them along their way. Well, the mother duck got out, and a few of the little chicks got out, but there were some little chicks that didn't get out. Now, the ones that got out were running to the mother duck, and what did she do? She lifted up her wing, and they were underneath the feathers for protection. When I was trying to scoop those other ones out, she was trying to get at me. Didn't like that. She thought I was going to harm them, and I wasn't. I promise. But I thought about that. Those little ducklings under the feathers of that mother duck, being protected. But you see, I love that last part, his faithful promises. Those faithful promises in the Word, those 7,000 plus promises in the Word, they're our armor and our protection. That's a beautiful thought. Those promises are our armor and our protection. Psalm 18:2 says it this way: the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior, My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. You see, when we go through those difficult times, we know that we can have that we have God as our protection. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our Savior. We find protection in Him. He's that shield that protects us. Number one, the source of our help. Number two, the strength of our help. Number three, as we finish tonight, verses 7 and 8, the security of our help. Verse number 7, it says, we are preserved from evil. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. If you think about it, our bodies are like volcanoes. Our bodies are like volcanoes. Because at any moment, that sin that is pent up inside of us can burst forth and commit an imaginable sin. It just kind of comes forth. Romans 7:18 says this, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. The Apostle Paul says that, I want to do what's right, but I do what's wrong. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do that. You see, we would say, how do we have the hope to live for God then? Well, it's because of the Holy Spirit is in our heart. When He comes in, He gives us all those resources necessary to overcome that as temptations and to say no to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure. I remember the story, and I've told it here, about the missionary who was overseas, and he was driving from his home to his church, and there was a very suggestive billboard that he didn't want to drive around. So he found another way, another route to his church from his home. It took him a lot longer, but you see, God gave him that way out so he could endure. And as we go through life, God will be there for us. We know how easy it is to sin. It doesn't require much effort because, you know, we're born with that bent to sin. But see, God will help us. He'll help us overcome evil in our life. If we have that desire to go to Him, He'll protect us from the evil one. 1 Peter 5:8 says it this way, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's out there. He's looking to devour us. Sift us like sand. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to make sure we're going to Him on a daily, regular basis, praying to Him in the Word, fellowshipping, staying as close as we can to Jesus. Verse number 8, it says, we are preserved for eternity. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You see, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord will keep us while we are here. While we are here on earth, doing His work, He will keep us. It's a wonderful promise. It's an endless guarantee. It's a reminder of the security that we have as believers. We have that security that in Jesus we are preserved forever. You know, as we finish tonight, I can just say this, that I'm grateful tonight about all the promises that God has given to me for my journey in life. He's given me great promises. Our two kids, my son is 34, my daughter will be 29 this year. And neither one have been able to find boyfriend, girlfriend, possible mate. And my wife and I have prayed, Father, send just the right one in to their life. And he did that. He sent two great people into the lives of our kids. We could have given up praying. We could have said, Father, forget about it. We give up praying. But we didn't. We kept praying about it. And he sent two wonderful people into their lives. Those are promises that we have. Those promises that I went through when I gave up a good job and went off into a pipe dream. Promises. Promises when that hurricane was rolling through that he was going to protect my family. And he did. Promises. Promises that when we lost a little one at 7 months, that he would provide another child. And he did. Promises. Those promises that are in the Word for each one of us. You see, my burdens are his burdens. My problems are his problems. My worries are his worries. My duty is to trust him.